same thing.
Okay, we're all here. And not too bad. 15 after 6, so that's good. Glad everybody could make it. Really pleased to see the enthusiasm. So we'll open with prayer first. And if anybody has any questions or whatever, we certainly probably should have written them down or whatever, but we have a couple of questions or one question, and then we have a topic that was left over from last time that we talked about covering this time. So anyway, we'll just bow our hearts for just a moment. Brother Daniel, want to ask the blessing?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we just want to thank you for this time that we've set aside, Lord, to this fellowship with your people, Lord, and to talk about your word. Lord, we ask you that you would feel welcome among us, Lord, that you would just give us the answers that we're seeking, Lord. Lord, your word says if we knock, you would answer to us. Lord, you'd be open to us. And Lord, that's why we're here tonight. Lord, we ask you to show us your truth. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, did anybody else have a question you wanted to submit tonight? And my wife's got some postcards in there that we can hand out if anybody has anything.
Oh, yeah.
You do have a question? Okay.
What's the best way to explain the message?
Best way to explain
it? What's a good way to explain the message?
It's good.
Yeah. That's a big question. Yeah, so. You know, when I talk to people, witness to people, I don't start talking about a prophet, or I just start talking to them about the things in Scripture that I'm enthused about, and what I feel like maybe might speak to them. And if they reciprocate with that, if they act like they're feeding on that and they enjoy it, you can tell if they are, then you just continue on with that. And it'll progress at some point, it'll progress far enough that maybe, usually I just wait until it gets to the place where I can't go any further because they're so interested that I'm going to have to tell them, hey, that we are believing that a prophet came in our day. But the main thing is to always point to the Scriptures because it is Scriptures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being dogmatic about something is not the way to do it. Being very aggressive and telling people, you know, God sent a prophet, and if you don't believe it, you're, you know, whatever, something. You don't do that. A person's not born again because they believe God sent a prophet. A person's not saved by that. A person is saved when they believe the word of God. And so that's what you want to present to them. It just so happens that in our day that there's been so much truth revealed that we know that the appetite that God's people has this day is for the truth of this day. It's not just for things from 2,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago. It includes that. But that it's also the things that are for, and we just have to, you know, if you believe everything that's going on, then you know that there is an appetite in God's people today for the very thing that he's given out, and that's what's going to cause people to respond. People will respond to emotions, but emotions don't save you. You can tell them stories and get them teary-eyed, but that's not it. It's the word of God that you have to share. And so, and you can only share what's burning in your heart. You know, you want to share it with your zeal and your conviction and because it's real to you. And God has called you to witness to those that are just around you. So you just, you know, you just be yourself and share with them, and always point to Scripture. And I, you know, there no doubt you're going to have questions come up that maybe you can't answer, but I would definitely encourage them to come to church, encourage them to have a time to meet with me or Brother Daniel, and we're more than thrilled to take somebody through Scriptures. If they're hungry and want to know, we can definitely show them where these things are in the Scriptures. So anyway, you can tell what you're thinking about it.
The other thing, too, is Brother Brown talked about, like, if you talk about a hammer and someone's got a hammer, well, this isn't exactly how he says it, but this is kind of the way I can explain it, is don't go up to him and say, hey, that's a piece of junk hammer. Say, hey, that's a nice hammer. That's really like. I like the way it feels. You want to try this one? See how this one feels. It's got a little bit of a swing to it, too. And it's about presentation. And so you don't go to them and bashing, hey, you ain't nothing but a nothing, or you don't have the truth, and we got the truth. It's kind of what Brother Tony was saying. It's your presentation of that, and mm-hmm. realizing that the message that we have, it's the Bible. It's the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It points back to the Bible. And the biggest thing is talk about it from the joy of a thankful. The Scripture talks about enter with thanksgiving. So when you're talking about the message, do it with thanksgiving. When you're doing it, be happy about what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if you talk about what you're happy about, you're going to be more confident in what you say. You're not going to be talking, because if you're talking about stuff you're not sure about, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be stumbling all over the place. You're going to be stuttering. You're going to appear unsure of yourself. So that's the biggest thing, is talk about what you know in
that's
the
right.
Scriptures.
That's
don't
exactly.
try talking about the seven seals, opening of the seven seals, or, you know, if something that's deep, if you don't feel confident in talking about that. You know, talk about, and the greatest thing you talk about is how your fire got lit, what this message does to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to speak to them. Because they can see it in your eyes, they're going to see it in your enthusiasm, and they're going to feel it in your spirit,
yeah.
in what you're talking. So, just.
When the Scripture says that we are written epistles read of all men, you know, our life we live, of course we know that, we talk about that all the time. You've probably heard the phrase, preach the gospel every day, and if you have to, open your mouth. Because, you know, I've experienced this myself where people I work with, I didn't think they would have anything to do with me, and circumstances would happen as such that they would come to me and say to me, we admire you for your stand, you know. And so it's important that people see in you, you know, they're in battles too, just like you are. They're fighting this world, just, you know, the things that Satan's eating, you know, just like. And when they can see you overcoming it, then they're going to want what you have, right? And it's like what he said, you know, show them the enthusiasm, show the overcoming power and the joy, you know, and people will see that and respond to it, and they will, you know, it's like my family. Most of my family, they don't have nothing to do with what I believe, but I'm the person they call when something comes up. But, well, that's a testimony right there. And of course, it'll be a testimony against them too, right? You know, but, you know, it's just so important that we live it. And but definitely, like I said, it's a ministry here in the church is here to help in any way. I'm thinking that when we start doing some men's fellowship breakfast or whatever, that might be an environment where some of your friends would come. I'm going to, you know, work on people I work with, because they would come to a more neutral environment like that, where then they may be coming to church, and that might open the door for them to come to church. So, and maybe even Bible studies too, if you could, you know, that might be an option too.
And when I say that, that's the entrance of, to me, that's the entrance of the talking about the message. Don't start there, and then at different levels, if you, okay, they're wanting to see what the prophet, what this is, then, you know, take your steps. But number one thing is go by the leading of your heart or what the Lord's speaking to you, because God works on both ends. Just like you'll do a minister when he's speaking to people, God, it's a deep call to the deep. So the Lord will put a hunger in that person's heart, and God will put something in your heart to meditate or read something, to say something. Well, you don't even realize what you're saying. You're just talking and saying what you're doing. And it's like, what? Because they have that hunger, when you're saying, they're like, wow, that speaks to me.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you won't even know that you're speaking to them. You'll have no idea. And there'll be other times you'll think, man, I sure planted the seed on that one, and they didn't get a thing from it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, so it's really being led by the Lord. Just be led by the Lord. And for me, when I know, when I, as far as witnessing going down, I usually start in Revelation chapter 1, talking about the seven candlesticks. To me, that's just lights up to me talking about that. And I don't want to jump into it too much, but of talking about how to show on the lampstands, of showing behind you, and to me, I dramatize that. And
yep.
and to me, that's because that excites me when I'm talking about that. But that's not a standard, this is a cookie stamp presentation, this is how I present this witness to somebody.
Yeah.
Be led by the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, be led by the Lord in what you're talking about, because that's people feed off of your enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's very important. There was there's an Italian guy that works there, and he come through one day, and I just turned around to him. I said, his name was Lorenzo. I said, Lorenzo, what's the matter? And he looked at me and he said, how did you know? I didn't know. You don't have to know. But if you're being led by the Spirit and you feel the Lord moving you, that works too, and so yeah. The world has made the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, a scary thing because of all the symbology. And if you listen to any of the stuff that they talk about, what the seals and the riders and all that stuff is, there's no wonder people. But you know, it's not. I mean, I guess some of the things that are going to happen and have happened are pretty, but you know, people need to know that this gospel is here to help them. And if it's hybridized, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And that's all the world has to offer, is the hybrid version. But they've mixed it with so much of man's stuff that we have to understand that's a very fundamental thing, that if you mix seeds, you can't get the same life out of it. Mm-hmm. And if we take the Bible and we mix it with man's idea, the power's gone. It doesn't do what it would do if it's pure. And that's what the world is offering. And people, they're not stupid. They see that there's nothing there, That's why, I don't know if you've noticed it, but over several years, they're talking about how many people are leaving Christianity. And, of course, they're talking about the Christianity that they know of, which is all the denominations. And people are leaving it because there's nothing there. So this world is ripe for the bride of Christ to step into what God has got for us, full manifestation of the Word. And that's the only thing we really need to be offering.
One of the lollipops I have for me that I bring out a lot of, not because I try to, but I usually find myself talking about it, and it's lit their eyes up. It's one of the first things the Lord showed me in the message, is how in the ark, there was a dove and there was a raven that could eat the exact same food, and the crow lived because you see him out there, but what did they eat off of? They eat off a dead carcass, so we know that crow lived. And to me, that was a great revelation to see, because when you talk to people from the world, I hate to say the world, but someone that doesn't know, heard this message, I never thought of that. You're right. They did. Look at the scriptures. The crow and the dove were in the exact same cage. They could eat the exact same grain, but the difference is the crow can eat dead carcass. The dove can only eat green. And the reason is the crow has a gall inside of him, which allows him to eat the meat of the world.
Right.
And that's what it is. Two different people can sit and hear the exact same word, but the difference is one can go out and do the things of the world and be completely content. A crow is just as content as anything, eating dead carcass. He'll also sing hallelujah while he eats grain.
That's right.
And to me, that's a perfect typology of the church, of how the church
is. That's right.
These
things like this are just, they're right there in the message. This is the things that God has unfolded to us, such simple concepts. Mm-hmm. But brothers, sister, we got to take that to that example right there and take that to the bank, and we got to say, then that helps me understand what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That helps me understand why there's so many people can come to church and still go live the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same God that created the gospel created, everything. And he's got those types and shadows like that. And mm-hmm. so we need to, because it seems to me like, and I don't mean to say this about any specific person, but it just seems to me like that, we hear these truths and in church and we're like, yeah, amen. And then, by the end of the day, we've forgotten. And so when it's out here and we're in battle and we get confused when why is this the way it is? Well, go back to these truths. We gotta learn to adopt these things into our hearts and into our daily life, so that, because that's what these things are here for, is to make us walk in light.
Mm-hmm.
and not stumble and trip. And so that's what all these, you know, we are stewards, as Paul said, stewards of the mystery. So why did God do it in a mystery? Well, because he wants to hide it from the wise and prudent, but he wants to reveal it to those that, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he did that. That's what he did. So we should have a certain respect for the mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that we are stewards of the greatest thing that's ever come to this earth. You know,
yeah.
Jesus Christ in revealed to us in this day. And so that's what our life must become. These truths of what God has given to us in this day to make us understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, you know, like in the parable of the wheat and tares. It was at end time that it was going to be separated. And that, you know, not early on, not all the rest of the time, but at end time,
mm-hmm.
this would be made clear. And so we have to know, okay, there's a, God is making a clarification in this day so we clearly understand what is bride and what is not bride,
mm-hmm.
right? The opening of the seals is helping us to clearly understand who is who, how many groups are redeemed and how are they redeemed, or how many groups are saved and how they're saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things are there so that we can quit wondering and we can know exactly who we are and where we fit in God's plan. That's a very good question. A big question. Big answer.
It's one of those things you try to put a small answer, like, okay, and then you think about it, like, okay, that's not enough. And you just keep it. It's kind of hard to know when to shut up.
So on the tail end of all that, does this bring up questions to anyone else would have pertaining to that, or did something come to mind that you'd like to ask? That now would be a good time to do it.
Or just a positive comment, like, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That reminds me of this.
We want these to be beneficial to you.
So I was talking to a woman at work. She doesn't work, but it's one of my coworkers' moms. And we got talking about the Bible and why I dress the way that I do. And I tried to explain it, you know, scripture, God says don't, or anything that pertains to a man. And she said, she told me that she had read that scripture, but what she didn't understand, she said, you know, that back then that everyone like wore like robes and stuff. She said, so when did it become a common thing for like pants to be for man or for woman? I didn't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if y'all knew a way of answering that, because I was like, I know when I wear skirts, like, I know it's right. That's just for me. It's a revelation to me. I just don't know how to explain it to other people, because anytime I've said it, that's come up several times. It's like, well, I've read that too, but how, who's to say this wasn't for this, or how are we supposed to say what's man and what's woman, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a very... very controversial topic, and you know, as believers, I'll go ahead and say, as elect, we come across that, and there's something in us that causes us to go ahead and accept. You have to open your heart to truth, but if you're really not wanting to serve the Lord, you're not really seriously seeking, you're not committed, you want to continue off in ways of whatever, you know, then there's always something you can throw out there to throw it off and say, well, that's, you know. But if you really are, then you can stop and say, well, there is a difference between man and woman, right? And there is a peril that's appropriate for man and a peril that's appropriate for a woman, you know,
mm-hmm.
just the way they're built and so forth. But it goes even further than that. Even the cultures we're in matter. You know, we have to walk with a clear conscience, right, before God. And there are some countries, maybe things are a little bit different than what they are here, and maybe they, because of their culture, they can do a few things different than maybe what we would. But we have to walk in such a way with what God has given us and the culture we're raised up in. And so we walk with a clear conscience before Him, and so, you know, we know that there's a difference between a man and a woman. And like I said, if a person's really not wanting to, it's like gambling. You know, how do you have had people say, show me where in the Bible where it says that you can't gamble? You know, somebody tell me where you can find that at, right? But we know it's wrong, and one of the things. one of the ways that I look at it is because look at what hangs around it. Look at what it all, everything that's around that kind of activity. You know, and so there's a certain amount of the gospel that if a person just doesn't want to, they're going to find something to say about it, you know.
There's two ways sometimes that I think to respond to that. One is when you come up to a bathroom and they don't have the words man and women, they have a picture with somebody with a skirt, somebody who has pants.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
That's how I, always say it.
Well, you know, not as the devil's advocate or whatever, but they're going to say, well, that's just because that's the culture. That's just the way, you know, but that, what makes that right?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to say that. But you know, there, like I said, there are things that pertain to a woman that, you know, and certainly cross-dressing is wrong, right? We know that.
I'm sure that back in the beginning, if we were there, you know, if that was our lifestyle, we would, in a split second, be able to look at that man wearing a robe and that woman wearing a robe and know there was a difference in the robe. There had to be something that made it a male and a female, you know, outfit or apparel, or I don't think that the scripture ever would have said it in the first place.
Yeah, you know, the scriptures talk about nature itself teaches you that it's wrong for a man to have long hair. Right? That scripture said that, but it's right. A man knows that he should not have long hair. But the sisters know that you should have long hair. Right? I mean, you know that there are differences, and we know that one of Satan's tactics and foretold and everything is to cross those, the male and female, cross the genders. Look at what we have, you know? And so there's such a great thing that Satan has pulled over the eyes of the people to cause that. But
Brother Jim had a second point I think he was going to bring forward.
Yeah.
I think he had 2 points.
I totally lost it.
One of the things I say a lot of times, and I say I don't mean this to be funny, but in a sense I do, they say that they make women pants. But if I was to come in here with a dress on and say this is a woman's dress, what would you say? And immediately they'd start laughing.
A man's dress.
Yeah. If I was to put it on and I would say this is a man's dress,
right,
they would usually start laughing.
It,
but that's different. I know, and there's a lot of the times I say, I get that.
So maybe you can say to this lady, we know there's a difference between men and women, right? And so you know if a bearded man comes in, big old rough, but he's got a dress on, how does that make you feel?
Hmm.
Well, you know, I would be shocked if anybody, unless it was somebody already in that kind of way, it's shocking. It's you know, and so just cause them to think about those things. Well, yeah, there are things, you know, that they're different, you know.
Yeah. Another topic we got on is the hair thing, cutting hair and stuff, and they talk about how they could see, they talk about trimming the ends of your hair, and they asked me why that was wrong. I said, well, it says not to be cut or to be, like, unless, basically, my interpretation, the way I can understand the scripture and plain words is saying, if you're going to cut it, you might as well just shave it, don't cut it.
Right.
I guess they had trouble seeing, like, what was so wrong with just taking, like, two little ends off of them, and I didn't know, I was like, it just says not to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know any good way of explaining that to them, besides like just showing them the scripture.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with stuff like that, as far as the trimming and stuff, it's so easy to get focused on the minor, on things like that, and it kills everything for the whole show. And so lead about the joy of the things about serving the Lord and bring it back to the interpretation of, this is my, the way I use a lot of times is, my wife knows I love sweet tea. I don't care for it as much as I used to, but I used to love this stuff.
Yeah,
I
drink
a gallon a day. I used to love this stuff, and she would make sweet tea. I love beans and fried potatoes. I still love that.
Now she knows.
It's you know, sometimes good to be brought these things to remembrance.
Yeah.
But you know, there's certain things I love, but this is the y'all surprise. I hate sour cream, even if it's a little bit. I hate it. And I can tell myself, it doesn't matter. It's just sour cream. It doesn't matter. It's just a little bit. It makes me sick. It literally makes me sick.
I've seen him
and
spit it out.
I believe that's the way the Lord feels about certain things about that. It goes back to the reason I do things is because I know it makes the Lord happy. And the reason I don't do certain things, because even just a little bit, it makes him sick. And I don't want to defy him. I don't want to offend him. I want him to be the king of the house. I want him to feel welcome. I want to position myself where he's up here. He's on top. And that, so if it's dealing with hair, if it's apparel, the way I do things, I don't want to offend him. I want to do things in such a way. And Brother Brim talked about the man that says that could take the king around the with his chariot. And one guy said, I can go a foot within the edge of the cliff. The other said, I can do 5 inches or 6 inches, or I can do 1 inch. And another guy said, I will hug the wall. He said, that's the guy I want to ride with. Well, that's the kind of way we are with serving the Lord. You know, we want to do it in a way to where we don't, you may be able to do certain things and get by with it. Who knows? But why would you want to?
Right, that's right.
You know.
When they can, you know, again, and back to the question there, you know, let them see the love that you have for the Lord.
Absolutely.
And you can explain to them, say, well, you know, in my relationship with God, and they're going to know it's there if they're really seeing it. Well, they got something. And
yeah.
you can say, well, in my relationship with God, I see that in His Word, and I feel terrible if I try to do something other than because I want to please Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And, you know, if it works, and you know, people will get hungry for what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why it's so important that we don't live hypocritical lives. We live every day the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Answer your question?
Anybody else on the top of that as we got this discussion going?
Not everybody at once. Quit over talking to one another now. So some respect here.
I just want.
Okay.
When you ask God to forgive him and if he forgives you and then he forgets about it and everything, what if, like, after that, you like think of it, or like you say, I sinned, and like, you know, and then he knows that you said that, so like, what happens then?
Well, so when you repent of something in your heart, and God knows that and forgives you of that, you know, scriptures, you know, we talk about he puts that in the sea of his forgetfulness. He's not going to bring that back up. And so you remember those things. You know, we as Christians, we have to accept his grace that forgives us. And so, you know, it's important that we believe his word and we move forward in our life knowing that we are forgiven. And so I guess what I'm trying to get at is that we don't want to be going around and saying, well, yeah, I did or whatever. But there's also this aspect of the fact that we have a testimony. And you tell people, I tell people, hey, here's where I was at. And so just because you're remembering something you did, or you tell, hey, I did this at one time, doesn't mean that God is going to, you're like reminding him. When it's in the sea of his forgetfulness, it's under the blood. It's under the blood unless you start doing it again, right? So, but you have a testimony to tell, and to tell people, hey, you know, I used to do this or I used to do that and God delivered me from it. That's not like making you a sinner again. That's your testimony. So, does that kind of help what you're asking?
A scripture that I come to on my mind whenever on that thought of what you're talking about is one scripture, and it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So whenever you are walking after the Spirit, and say you make a mistake, like, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me for that, Lord. And you go down, and that thought comes to your mind, and you remind it. You got to remember, when you're walking in the Spirit, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. God is not condemning you. Could you imagine your dad, you doing something, and you said, I'm sorry, Dad, I didn't mean to do that. And he said, I forgive you. Do you think he looks at you and says, that dirty, stinking Aiden. I can't believe you did that. You filthy, filthy Aiden. Do you think he would do that? No, because he loves you, right? And even if you did something big, like you wrecked the lawnmower, you wrecked his truck, do you think he would then, when you said, Daddy, I am sorry. I can't believe I did that. Do you think he would hold a grudge over you? No. It looked like his question. Like, well, maybe. Well, you got to remember that as much as your dad, and I know this is going to be hard to imagine, as much as your dad loves you, as much as he does, and he loves you a lot, I mean a lot, as much as he loves you, it's not a drop in the bucket compared to how much God loves you. It is so much more. Because you know what? If you wrecked the lawnmower, Daddy would remember that, but he would still forgive you. But God can't even remember. He literally, it's gone.
That's right.
Yeah, so when you think that thought again, oh, I did that thing, God's going to go, I don't remember that.
What are you talking about?
Happened.
That's
well,
right.
So you probably remember us talking about this in church when Perry Green, you know, here he is, he's a minister, he's a married man, he's helping Brother Branham in the campaigns, and his mind will think about something that he shouldn't be thinking about. His mind would drift off into something that was not right. And he'd repent of it. And he'd say, Lord, forgive me for that. I don't wanna think that. And then later on his mind would drift to that again and he'd repent. And he had this problem with it reoccurring and he didn't want to do it, but mm-hmm. Satan can come along and try to put thoughts in your mind. Yeah, he's done it to me. Mm-hmm. And he did it to me one time and I had a real struggle with it. With him trying to convince me that was me that was thinking that, and I realized it was like somebody put it in there. That it, like, where did that come from? But so Perry Green was saying, you know, and so he wanted to talk to Brother Branham about it. And so one day he and Brother Branham were alone, and Brother Branham said, "I think you got a question you have for me, whatever, you know." And Brother Perry said, "Yeah, you know, I think this, and I repent, and I come back, and it happens again." And Brother Branham told Brother Perry, he said, every time you come to the Lord and repent, it's like the first time because he forgets it every time. Mm-hmm. And you've heard the testimony also of the girl that had been, I think she'd been sneaking around smoking behind her mom and dad's back. And she got in the prayer line and she saw how the Lord would, through discernment, would reveal the sins of some of the people in the prayer line. And she got scared because she was in the prayer line and she knew she'd been sneaking around smoking, you know. And so she repented in the prayer line. And then when she got before Brother Branham, he didn't bring that up to her that she had been smoking because she had repented. And that's, I don't remember who it was that asked him, Brother Branham, how is it that you know that a person's sins are under the blood? And he said, it's simple. God doesn't show it to me. Because if they had sin, he would see it. But because they repent and it's under the blood, the Lord would not show that. So the blood is the most powerful. You know, it's bleach. As the prophet said, you take a tub of bleach and put ink in it, and that ink disappears. And in one or two places, he said that the ink becomes bleach. So, and that's, I think about that where our testimony, hey, yeah, I used to drink or I used to smoke or I used to do this or that, but the fact that God has saved me from that, it's got a redeeming testimony, a quality there. It's bleach. You're telling people and it's beginning to have a cleansing effect on them because they're believing it and they're beginning to say, hey, that'll help me. I can be saved. And so that's those sins dropped in that bleach becoming bleach. Lord forgives you. It's done. It's a done thing. It's wonderful. As Brother Daniel said, there is now no condemnation. Romans 8:1. It's so wonderful to know that the failures of your past are under the blood. That's what he came for. That's what he came and died for, was so that our sins could be forgiven. He didn't come to save good people. He came to save bad people that knew they were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so
that's a huge thing that we need to always remember is that is our salvation is by mercy. That's it. It has nothing to do with you living right. It has nothing to do with you living wrong. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what you're saved. You're not saved by your works. You're not saved by any of those things. And that's why I said, kind of go back to where I said earlier, is you don't want to offend the Lord. Because it's kind of like having a tutor. Like if I explain it this way, if you're tutoring somebody, maybe you're focusing strictly on spelling. You're not working on math. You're working on spelling. That's what you're working on with that person. Well, and they're being diligent to what the tutor's saying. They're dealing with spelling, and that you're listening to it. Well, somebody can say that they're off on their math, they're off on this, they're off on this, they're off on this, but what's God dealing with them on? If God's dealing with them on spelling and they are being good with that tutor and what he's doing, they're in fellowship with the Lord. And a lot of times people can be guilty of criticizing somebody because they've got this wrong, they got this wrong, got this wrong, but what's God dealing with that person on their heart? Because you can't judge somebody on what they're living with, because you don't know. We honestly don't know.
That's right.
And I believe somebody, a woman that's wearing pants, got cut hair, that's you know, and maybe she's got makeup on, but her walk with the Lord, if she's in sync with what God is dealing with her right then at that moment, to me, that she is walking in the grace of God. Now, the Holy Spirit will lead her to holiness, because there will come a point that if she says, I ain't going no further, that's where she's wrong,
right?
Because she is going against the grain of what the Holy Spirit's leading her. But we cannot look at somebody, and I think that this people need to be
right.
Very careful. Brother Graham talked about the woman with the blouse that I think maybe about to see through just a little bit or something, and she was playing the piano. Someone was criticizing because she was playing the piano. Brother Graham, she shouldn't be playing the piano. He said she's got the right spirit. Her spirit was
right.
You know.
That's right.
So we don't know. That's where the tutor is our Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our tutor, and it's teaching us, leading each one of us on an individual basis. And we need it's our respect to what that tutor is doing with us all. That is your walk, you know, with the Lord. And
it's important to know that the Holy, like you said, the Holy Spirit is our tutor. It's important to know that if it is the Holy Spirit, it will be leading you in agreement with the Word.
That's right.
Because heathens shout and say, I felt it.
Sure.
Right? And that we've got to understand that. It's not, because the devil can make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He can imitate any sensation like that, but if it's really the Holy Spirit, it will agree with the Word. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, it has to deviate from the Word at some point.
Yes.
That's just because that's the plumb line.
Yeah.
You know.
And a good natural way of explaining that is like when Mary, everybody agree that Mary got pregnant with the Word? Well, if you looked at her, you can say you're pregnant with the Word. She didn't look like she was pregnant. There was one single change. But after a while, there should be change.
That's right.
There should be a change of looking like the progression of being pregnant. And that's the same way I was talking about with the way the woman's dressed, her apparel.
That's right.
You don't know what state she's at, where she's at in that pregnancy. But after a while, if there's no changes, and you're not starting to look like the Word, because there's the seeds that what transforms you. There's a power of transformation inside the seed. And that seed will transform you. You just got to put it in the right environment. And so,
that's right.
Yeah, eventually, Brother Tony said, it will lead you to this.
You know, a female is a type of the Bride of Christ, right? So all females are born virgin. It's what they do in their life, decisions they make, and how they interact that maintains whether or not they stay a virgin or stay virtuous by marrying a husband in the right way, or whether they become a harlot. And so we as Christians, we all have opportunity, and it's on the level that God will meet you right where you're at, but it's a growing process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I said the other day in church, you know, that it's normal for a child to grow up and get to the place where they can eat meat. And if they're not, there's something wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're at meat time. And the way we know that is because it's eagle time, and eagles, they're young. Even young eagles eat meat. So that to me, that means that fresh, newborn Christians underneath this message, on the eagle message, give me the Word and give me all the Word. They don't shy back from it because they can eat meat, right? If they're beyond the milk. So, and you know, we can't we can't disregard these typologies that God has shown like that, to realize, okay, we clearly see that we're under an age of a flying eagle. Okay, then we've got to accept the fact that what should be happening in our lives is what that's the type of. That we are beginning to fly higher and getting away from these things, these earthbound things, being able to see further, being able to eat meat, you know, all that in our spiritual sense. You know, we have to accept those things because that's the hour that we're in. That's good. Good stuff.
I think a lot of people see, like she was talking about the skirts and the way we dress or the way the message does things, and they're saying, well, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't have to wear this or whatever. I think that people look at it, they just look at it the wrong way.
That's right.
They're going right immediately into be like, well, they're basically saying that you don't wear a dress, you're not part of God's message of the hour, or you're not part of bride. But they're looking at the wrong thing. What caused this person to do the things they do, or to have the desires in their heart to dress the way they dress? It's the relationship you have with God, what God put in your heart, and you giving your heart to God.
Mm-hmm.
And her saying, explaining, how can I explain the revelation that I've gotten? Well, I gave my heart to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Did you give your heart to the Lord?
Right.
Did you get on your knees one time and give your all to Him and tell Him, I surrender my everything to you?
Right.
And I believe if people would quit looking at, well, I have to do this, or they're saying you have to do this, and not that the message says you have to do that or whatever. It should be a love in your heart. Not, I am wearing this because so-and-so is wearing this. Well, I'm doing this because somebody's... No, it's the love I have in my heart for God to do it.
Yeah.
And the Lord asked me to, and that's what she's saying. The Lord asked in the Bible to wear this, and she's doing that out of the love of her heart, not,
mm-hmm.
I have to do this, or I have to do it. Or like, just like y'all preached before, being married, if Rachel said, I have to cook him dinner, or I have to pour him tea, or I have to do this, there's no love. And how is that going to work without love?
Yeah.
I think it's all about love.
Yeah, that's right. It is. That's right.
And
so,
surrendering your whole life to him.
I heard somebody say one time, I don't remember who it was, years and years ago, but somebody was making some challenge like that, all that's not true, or whatever. And anyway, this person was eating an apple. And they took a bite out of it, you know, and they asked the other person that was challenging Christianity, they said, is this apple sour or sweet? And the person said, I don't know, I'm not eating it. He said, exactly. Unless you do like you said, have you done this? Because if you haven't, then you don't know.
Yeah,
you but try it one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See what happens. You know, then you'll know.
Don't start at the apparel or the things that you have to do.
Exactly.
Or this and this. Don't go to the law.
Right.
Just start at surrendering, getting on your knees, and just you talking to God about the things that you have on your heart, and just start there. And instead of starting at the law of the, I think it's if you surrender your life to God and you want to. You want to live. You have the desire for something greater. Give it to God, and the things will follow.
Yeah, that's right.
Like you said, and that goes back. That's what I was trying to say too. Is talk about what you're happy about.
Yeah.
But bring what makes you excited. Because I doubt, and I'd be wrong. I doubt you sisters wake up in the morning and say, "Bless God, I'm wearing a dress."
Right.
Glory.
Right.
Glory.
Yeah.
I may be wrong. Maybe you do, but.
They probably don't do that about their long hair either.
Exactly. Glory, I've got long hair. You know, that's not.
It's
probably not.
It's a pain to have to deal with long
hair.
Yeah,
dealing with headaches and stuff. I thank
but,
God that I don't have to do that. You know, it's
really
a burden. Yeah. I mean that literally.
You don't have to do that either.
You know, but if really, really think about it, you know, for what the Lord did for us.
Yeah.
And if he said, well, in order to serve me, you got to climb up that tree every day. If you love him, you'd want to do that.
Yeah.
Right? He asked us to do these things, like I mentioned Wednesday night in service, that he's asking us to walk this way because that's where life is. There's life in that. And if you pull away from that now, it's evil spirits can come again to draw you away.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not asking us to do stuff. There's a reason why he says for a man to wear a man's clothes, woman woman's clothes, and you know, and not to defile your body and all those things.
Yeah.
There's a reason for it. It's not just do's and don'ts. It's because there's life there.
Yeah.
And when we don't do it, then that opens the door for things to come in that's not right.
Yeah. Kind of like in scripture where they try to tell you, Balaam, look at the hinder parts of the camp. Don't focus on it. Not that saying that's hinder parts of the camp, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't focus on the hard stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Focus on the good stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because if we're going on vacation and we're talking about we're going to be extremely tired, we're going to be sweaty, your feet are going to hurt, you know, you're going to want to prop your feet up because your feet's going to be so sore. Well, if that's all you're talking about, well, I don't want to go. But if you say we're going on a hiking trail where there's going to be waterfalls, there's going to be this, there's going to be no grizzly bears. If you talk about the good things, those other sacrifices are little.
Yeah,
because you're
right.
Because is it worth having a sore feet to go to Glacier National Park and go hiking?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the same way with the message.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Getting ate by a grizzly bear, though. That's I kind of like to, if I have to pass, I'd like to just go to sleep and wake up in heaven. That's kind of what I would say.
I think we would all.
Am I the only one, or y'all want that too?
I think everybody would want that. Yeah.
I don't know anyone that was like, well, I hope I get ate by a grizzly bear. You know, that's.
Feet first.
Yeah.
I look back when we went camping at Glacier National Park. Lord, I thank you for your grace for keeping us.
I still laugh about that whenever y'all was going to go and I was at Walmart.
A bear attractant?
And there was a can of bear spray. And I called him, hey, y'all are going. Y'all want this bear spray? I'll get it for you. And so I did. And when I rung it up, the thing went off and they had to come over because of what was in it. You know, there was something in it and they had to come and approve it or whatever. But the receipt said bear attractant. That's exactly what it said on the bear attractant. Just somebody punched it in that way. I've laughed about that ever since then.
Why is bear attractant?
Well, Tony, what are you trying to do to me?
Pray this morning and evening.
That's right. Oh my goodness.
I kept following the van, I kept trying to figure out why.
Questions on that?
On bears or the actual Bible study?
You know, it just, all of this we've talked about just kind of drops right down into it's a personal relationship, and people don't know until they're in that relationship.
Right.
You know, and but we want to live in such a way that it makes them want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, I want what this person's got. You know, I heard a testimony. He's a minister. He said when he came to the message, his family immediately, they're like, oh, it's a cult, it's this, it's that, you know, and all the children, and the, you know, they're going to be drug into all this stuff, you know, like that. And he said, but it wasn't very long at all until all those families that were saying he was in a cult, they were constantly commenting about how well his children were behaved and how they constantly comment about how good and all that was. And it's like, think about it, you know. They're criticizing, but yet they recognize the fruits of it. And that's a... I think somebody's getting wound up.
Yeah.
That's
kind of
like how Sister Laura, you know, when my brother passed away, I hadn't been around my family a lot because of just differences, you know, and stuff. But when my brother passed away... So they hadn't really been around my kids in a while, and we started, you know, we had to be around my other brother in their house a lot, and she, like, came up to me, and she said, Vicky, I'm going to tell you, your kids are absolutely, you know, really, really good. Like, they just, you know, just the way they, present themselves around my family, you know, they were totally different than my other nieces and nephews, And I've got really good nieces and nephews, but they she just seen something different, and so, and I just told her, you know, it was the Lord, because, you know, it took a lot of, you know, kids are kids, so, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord, they wouldn't be the way they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have their problems too, but they know how to fix it, you know, and so.
Questions or comments, I don't know how long we want to go. It's been a little less than an hour, about 50 minutes, I think, since we got started. I think last time when we were talking, Brother Tim mentioned something about maybe discussing about all the different categories of people and how they're saved. I remember that. We were talking about that. And so that in itself was, you know, to actually go into the scriptures and read it would take us quite a while. We can talk about it. We can read as many scriptures as you want on each category. We can kind of go through it quickly and just say where they are. You can write those down just however we want to do it. But, you know, I want to show you that scripturally that there are several different categories of people. And we know the scripture says that there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. I remember when Brian Melton started working with me, and I was witnessing to him, and he struggled for a while with categories of people being saved other than the fact that they accepted Jesus as their Savior. And, you know, and I was explaining to him that, you know, if the Lord, you know, we're all lost, and if he chose five different ways that people could be saved, then who are we to say only one of those ways is good? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's his word. If he comes to us and says, hey, if you do this, you can be saved, and then maybe goes to another group of people and says, if you do something different, you can be saved, who are we to say that other group can't be saved that way? But none of them are saved except that he has shed his blood for them. You know, we understand that, his atonement. But, you know, if I paid a price for a people, then I should be able to say, well, here's how I'm gonna accept them or whatever. Because he's the one that paid the price, then he's the one that sets the avenues of how people are saved. And so there are five, there's different categories. I'm going to find them here. So there's the bride of Christ. There's foolish virgins. There are those that are good to his brethren. There are souls under the altar. And those that are good to his brethren are given life. And so are the souls under the altar. They're given life. They don't have it. And so there's those categories, and then there's another category when we talk about bride and foolish virgin, and this group is not saved unless they do something different, and that's the ill-famed of the harlot church system, because there is, you know, there's a real church, there's a bride, and there's a harlot system or whatever. So the bride of Christ, we understand the bride, that's the one that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he is. She doesn't reject anything about the word. She accepts him totally. And she's already saved. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in the scriptures, in John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life. Didn't say will have, might have, but hath, present and hath everlasting life, and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is, present tense, passed from life. So you understand, okay, here's a group of people, he that heareth my word, and we talk about, hey, that God sent Christ and Christ sends you. And if you if they receive you, they receive Christ. If they receive Christ, they receive him that sent him. So here's what people says: he that heareth my word, because God sent me, and you believe on the one that sent me, believe that I'm he, right? Because in one place it said, unless you believe I am he, you'll die in your sins. So unless if you believe that, and you receive me, you believe on those things, and receive the one that sent me, then you have everlasting life. Shall not come to condemnation. Condemnation, there's judgment. Shall not come to condemnation. You can come to a judgment and not be condemned. Okay? So, you shall not come to condemnation, but is, present tense, passed from death unto life. And when you get over into the book of Revelation chapter 20, you see that there's that group there that are part of the first resurrection. Upon such, the second death have no power, because there's people that come up in a second resurrection. First resurrection is at the beginning of the millennium. That's the bride of Christ that have gone into the dust of the earth. They come up. There is no judgment upon them. They come up. There is no second death. Nothing. They're done. They're good to go. But those people who come up after the millennium, they have to be judged. And it still remains to be determined what's going to happen to them. They didn't come up in the first resurrection because they weren't part of the bride. And so, the foolish wise and foolish virgins, when you see that in Revelation or in Matthew 25, the wise virgins, they had oil. And at his coming, behold, the bridegroom cometh. So that's the end time, coming of the Lord. Go out to meet him. So they had oil, they had Holy Spirit, they had in their life, they had enough something going right to where they could meet the Lord at his coming. But there was another group of people who were also virgins who had let something go, that their experience had waned or slowed down or whatever. And so for some reason, when this time happened, they couldn't go and meet him. But the scripture said they did come later and knock at the door, right? And the door was already shut. You know, and so they were cast out into outer darkness, or, you know, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so there's bride and there's foolish virgin. The ones about those that are good to his brethren. And so if you look at, remember Brother Branham talked about how in Matthew 24 that Jesus was going through the seals? Matthew 24, he was going through the seals. So just think about, okay, here at the end time, God's going to open up the seven seal book, and in that book is the names of those that are saved, right? So he's going to reveal the life that the people live throughout the ages. That life is going to call their name and say, this is who. So he's telling us who's saved. He's telling us who's redeemed in that book. And so he goes through Matthew 24 as the opening of those seals, and then he gets through with that, and he goes right into Matthew 25, and he talks about the wise and foolish virgins, because the foolish virgins are saved too. And then after he gets through the wise and foolish virgins, then he talks about the situation as a man would separate sheep from goats, right? As that. And that's where he said, because you were good to me, right, then enter in. They didn't have it. They weren't bride who already had it. Bride already has already passed from death into life. These people didn't. And so here, they're given life based upon the fact that they were good to his brethren. And we know we are his brethren in the scripture. We talk about him being our big brother. And so they're given life. And you see that in Matthew. So what I'm trying to get at is opening of the seals, showing who's saved. And then, oh, by the way, we got to talk about foolish virgin. How are they saved? We got to talk about this other bunch, how they're saved. And so that's why they're right there. It's just a sequence. God's showing that in Matthew 24, Matthew 25, showing those different categories of people. So there's bride, foolish virgin. Those are good as brethren. We know the souls under the altar there under the fifth seal. Those were not Christians. They were Jews. But they're saved too because they were blinded. Right? These are all concepts of saying, and we can't deny it because he said white robes were given to him, and they were told just to rest for a little while until others of their brethren were crucified or killed. So there's that that particular group. And so those that were good to the brethren didn't have life, but they were given life. Those souls under the altar did not have life, but they were given life. Based upon what? Well, the Jews were given it because they were blinded. Those who came up at the second resurrection, they were given it because they were good to his brethren. So there's two channels there that God says, I'll save these people, even though they weren't blind. Does that make sense? So you can see in the scriptures there those things. Now, when it says we shall not come into condemnation or judgment, Paul tells us in both 1st and 2nd Corinthians both, Paul tells us that we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every man's going to stand and answer for what he's done in his body in this life. But he's not lost. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll go see if we can go there. I know you, but that's not the right one. I'll get to the right one. I'm trying to think it's really good just to read it so you can see yourself. So I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read down through there, and maybe we'll make comments as we go. But so Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk. There's back to what we're talking about, milk. And not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear, neither now yet are you able. Are you not carnal? For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave every man. I have planted, so Paul is saying this, I've planted, Paul, Apollos, water, but God's the one that gives the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, or neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors. So now Paul is talking about rewards. Everybody, you know, we sow, some water, but God's the one that's doing this, but every man's going to receive on the basis of what he's done in this life. For we are laborers, verse 9, we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. And so now Paul says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So you hear me talk about this quite often. Paul, God brought the gospel to us Gentiles through Paul. Paul laid the foundation for the entire bride movement, bride of Christ, on his teachings. That's why Brother Branham, when he came at the end, Brother Branham in that realm said, I've stayed with Paul, and everybody shouted, we're resting on that because of this right here. Because God used Paul to bring the gospel to us Gentiles, and we cannot be saved if we are rejecting what God sent through Paul. So Paul is saying, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he build thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So Paul's saying, there is no other gospel. If somebody preaches something different than this, let them be cursed, because this is it. And so let everyone take heed how you live your life, how you build. Because you've got to, if you're going to be saved, you've got to build it on this foundation right here of what God sent to the Gentiles through Paul. Verse 12, Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. All right, let's stop for a moment here. So if you lay a foundation, you're going to build a house. You can build that house out of brick. You can build it out of stone. You can build it out of gold. You can build it out of silver. You can build it out of wood. You can build all kinds of things on that foundation, and you're on the foundation, right? So Paul's saying this. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you can build on this, your life, our lives, all of us, the way we live on the basis of this gospel, and some things we're going to do, we're going to get reward for. Some things, if we do it not through the Holy Spirit, not through the Holy Spirit leadership, and you know, then we're gonna it's gonna be tested and show that it was not of the Lord. But you're not lost. You're still on that foundation, and so that's why I said, and yet he himself shall be saved. This is a type of judgment that we will come to, but this is not a condemnation. So when the scripture said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And Brother Brent said, condemnation, it means judgment. He's not saying you're not going to come to this judgment, but you're not going to come to condemnation, because this judgment seat of Christ is not a condemnation. It's just a testing and a to place everyone according to what they've done in this life. But they're saved. Does that make sense? So, it, you know, you can see Paul said right there, he himself shall be saved. Amen. And so, there's another place there where 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we can run there real quick. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 9 and 10. We live our gospel, and we need to labor for Christ. And you could labor right, or you can labor wrong, okay, like we just said. But verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted by him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that every one may receive of the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether good or bad. So there's a difference between the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment, right? So believers, and so you remember that day in communion we read where Paul said, if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged, won't be condemned with the world. So we as Christians, we're going through our judgment now, but there's also a where we stand before the Lord, we're going to be, you know, but we're not lost because we're believers. Now there's other groups of people now that don't fall in that category. At the end of the millennium, you've got a group of people that come up there, and they are, like in the case of the ones that were given good, you know, life because they were good to the brethren. Okay, there's that group. But there's the scripture said books were opened, and another book was the book of life, and every man's judged according to their works. At that judgment, it's not the same one as the judgment of Christ, where you're being judged according to the life you lived in Christ. These people are being judged for the life they lived that wasn't in Christ. And so there's how they're judged, and basically if they're not found, if their name's not found in the book of life there, then they're cast in the lake of fire. So you know there's a group there that are saved, but they're not saved because of, like the bride is, they're saved because of works that they did. And a lot of people have a hard time believing that, but it's scriptures. And I'm just, you know, showing that if it's a, it's all these different avenues, and God says, "I'll save this group, I'll save this group, I'll save this group," and that's just that's the way He does it.
You think those people are maybe people who were never heard the message but lived the best they could according to maybe God's word?
We know Scripture says that the heathen, that even though they don't know the gospel, even in their own lives, they live things that are in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They live, I mean, heathens know it's wrong to take another man's wife. Right? And so, yes, if they've never heard, I think Brother Ron talked about it, said we won't be able to get to all of them. Right? But if they've never heard, God is a just God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. It's like a lot of people get hung up on stuff. So just listen, if you work with someone, if they're truly, honestly trying to serve God to the best that they know, and God has not given them anything else, they will not be given a raw deal. He's a just God. He's made all kinds of avenues for people to be saved. It just so happens to be the bride of Christ is the most glorious, the most wonderful. But when you get there in that city, there's going to have to be some eunuchs for the bridal chamber.
Right?
They're going to be there. There's people who's going to be there, and they're going to come up into the city once a year and bring their tithes and offerings and stuff into the city. The Scriptures speak of that. How are those people going to live there? They're not bride. And so I'm just saying, it's just because, you know, I've had people, you know, they love to come up with a scenario that's really hard to answer. And so they're like, well, you know, somebody was saying one time about suicide or whatever, and they said it was Mary's son. He said, well, what about those people that jumped out of World Trade Center? Are you saying they're lost? They jumped out because of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so they love to come to that. And so how do you answer that, you know? And it just so happens that a man who's a firefighter just happened to be walking by right at that moment, and he stopped and he said, let me tell you something. A person goes through a mental change when that fire is on them like that, and they see that jumping out of that window is a much better option, and it's just a mental state they go through. And you know, I didn't have to answer anything, but you know, people will like to come up with ideas and say, well, what about this person? They do this and this and this. What about that? And I'm just saying, God is a just God. He's got all kinds of avenues, and you know, we know scripturally that there's a majority of people who are given opportunity and they turn it down. And so, you know, I'm an advocate for, hey, let's be bride. I'm not an advocate. I'm not going to preach to you and tell you, try to be foolish virgin. Try to get in that way. How would you feel if I tried to tell you that? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you, well, just be good to people. Maybe you'll get in then. That's not, you know. But God has avenues like that. And it's just, when I look at that, I think of it as like, He loves us so much. He loves His bride so much that somebody that's done something good to Him, He gives them life too. That's how much, you know. So He came to give us life, gives life more abundantly. And so also, there are people that are saved, but they're not redeemed. And when I say they're not redeemed, redeemed means to bring back. So there is an elect people, there's a redeemed people, a people who were there. They're the ones that have life, they're the bride, they're, you know. But then there's these other people who are saved. They don't have life. They don't. We come here as an elect of God. We have eternal life in us. We just didn't know it. Right? I'm talking about the elect bride. There's people here who do not have that. They don't have life, but they're given life on the basis of the fact they've done good for the brethren, or because they were Jewish people and were blinded so that we could get the gospel. So if you look at it, it's all centered around bride, but it's all these different other groups of people that He saves, but they're not redeemed because they weren't taken back because they weren't there to begin with. Okay? These are all scriptural concepts right there, and it runs perfectly in continuity through the Scriptures of all these different categories. So you don't know if someone is elect or not. you don't know how, what they're, you know, I believe that y'all are bride because you're feeding on a, what I believe to be bride message, message that makes bride,
mm-hmm.
you know, that quickens us. So I believe that, but I don't know. I just know by the spirit that I, as we fellowship around the word. But take people out there in the world. You don't know what they might come in and be bride at some point. Just because they don't accept you right now doesn't mean they. But so, you know, you can't like he was saying, you can't declare anything, right? You don't know. It might be early, and they might be a babe in the Lord. They might be elect, got to be bride. And think about the woman at the well. How many years she was bride? Look how many years she walked in such a terrible life until, and this is where I'm getting to, until she encountered the living word. And this is what I'm getting to, is that there are people out there, and that we would be our brothers and sisters. Their lives have been all kinds of ways, but they need to encounter the living word, and that's what'll bring them. And that's us. That's our job. To present to them Christ, not a hybrid something, but the true living word, embracing these things that God has given us. You know, holiness and those things that are there. Amen. So, yeah, that's different categories. Now, when you look at the seals opening and you see who was saved under the white horse? Who was saved under the red horse, black horse, pale horse? He's telling you. He tells you who it is, not their name, but the life they lived. And he tells you, okay, then these Jews are saved under the fifth seal. So he's showing you all that. Then he shows you foolish virgin, and he shows you those at the white throne judgment that are good to break. He's showing you all these people that are saved. But who's not in there? And who's not in there is the ill-famed church, the Jezebel church, the church that fights against the word, the church that's a harlot, insist in God's eyes. They're not in there, right? And we're coming all the way down to the end, and the seals have opened, and God has said, hey, this is bride, these are the people of the ages, and also there's foolish virgin, and we got Jews, and there's going to be some here at the end like that. But let me give another cry to that harlot system. Come out of her, my people. And this is what's happening in our day. God is opening all this stuff is coming to pass, but by his grace, once again, he's saying to the harlot system, come out of her, my people. And I like to look at it and say an official voice that has come today. Why is it official? Because it was a ministry foretold in the Bible and had the vindication of the Bible, showing that it had credentials enough to say, come out of that stuff. Right? If somebody like Benny Hinn came to us and said, you got to come out of what you believe and come over into it, why would we believe that? Why would we believe him? But if he has a ministry like what this one did, then it's worthy of listening to. That's why Jesus said that if I hadn't done things that nobody else had ever done, then they wouldn't have anything to worry about. But because I have, now their sins remain. So when God comes along with testimony, as we've been saying lately, when he comes along with somebody that has a testimony, a life that's worthy, and it shows that God was there and doing those things, then we better listen, right? And that's what the woman at the well did when Jesus was there. When he showed the sign of a prophet, she perked up. All right, I know I can find out some truth here because this man has shown himself to be a prophet. So, anyway, that's the categories. And so, if there's any questions, write it down. If you don't understand a certain thing, if you're whatever, write it down and feed it to us so we can talk about it next time, because I want everybody to understand very clearly the categories, but I want you to clearly understand what makes bride, why she's bride, because I believe that's us. I believe God has a fulfillment of the word for us to step into, which will only happen when we no longer hybrid, because he's calling us out of all this stuff. Amen. So
maybe not for today, but maybe for next time, or maybe it's up to you, but talk about who the Fool's Version is, because I've actually heard it preached both ways, whether Fool's Version is the non-national people, which is, and then I've heard it preached, you know, which is, you know, well, to me it's crazy, right. But I've seen message preachers preach
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, let's
and
go ahead and do that tonight.
Yeah,
real quick.
Because I think the other stuff you have said so far will make it easier to understand.
That's right. So when you get to Revelation 17 and he talks about that harlot church system, and it says Mystery Babylon. And you go back and you realize physical Babylon, which was, Middle East over there. You go back and look at all that and you see how that as they come out of the Garden of Eden, there was a back there, history shows that there everybody believed in one God back there, way back there. And then you can do a study and find out, and you can read all this in the Church Age book. Brother Wim covered it. And shows you how they went from believing in one God and who it was that did it and made people start believing multiple gods.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Babylon. It was Nimrod and his dad, Nimrod. And it created a system, and from that you can see all these religions, all the religions of the world out there, but, you know, other than true Christianity, you can see in that, and so that became, in scriptures, Babylon, and it was a physical place, but look what they did. And so they're heathens, and they're doing all that. When you get over in the New Testament, and John is seeing this woman, was supposed to be a church, this woman represents a church, and she's drunk with the blood of the saints, and she's a harlot. So you know she can't be bride of Christ, right? She's a church, but she can't be bride because she's a whore. And John didn't understand it. That's us, because we're a type of John. He didn't understand this church, and so the angel said, "Let me explain to you. Don't marvel at this church. Let me explain to you what this is." And so we understand that that was the Catholic Church. Okay? But she had daughters who were harlots. So, like I said a while ago, all daughters are born virgin. But they took on the nature of their mom and became harlots. So it wasn't the Catholic Church, but there's something that spun off that started out right, began to act like Catholic Church. Right? Daughters that began to be harlots or whores like mama. So it's not the Catholic Church, but she had daughters, and they come, and they're born virgin, and it was a good movement, and it, like Lutheran started out right, but then what happened after that? Right? They denominated. That's why Brother Brown keeps saying the Catholic Church was the first church to organize. You're not supposed to organize, you're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit, right? Type of that in the Old Testament when Israel come out and they said, "We want a king." And God said, "I'm your king." No, they wanted one anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they look what they got. They got Saul. So that was a type of that. And so Catholic Church, we should have been led by the Spirit, but they went into denominational things, leadership of man away from the Holy Spirit, and off into all kinds of. And the scripture said that's Mystery Babylon. This is a church. It was a mystery to John. That's why I call it mystery. But the explanation from the angel to John said, this is a church, and it's that same thing in the Old Testament, but it's in mystery form. Same thing, multiple gods, all kinds of heathen traits, all kinds of nonsense, and that's why she's drunk with the blood of the saint. That's why she's a harlot, because she's not been true to Christ, the Word. She's a whore because she's not been true to Him. But she had daughters, and the daughters are denominational systems that come out, and they start out right, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever. They start out with a revival that's right, they're virgin. But at some point, they get away from the Holy Spirit and begin to have man's system and creeds and dogmas and all that, and that makes them whores, right? And so that's why they can't be accepted, because they've not stayed to the pure Word, okay? So now he's asking, well, what about foolish virgin? What is, okay? A virgin is a virgin.
Right.
So she's not the Catholic Church, and she's not these denominational daughters, because she's a virgin. Right? So foolish virgins come out of the message. Foolish virgin come because she's not been tainted by false stuff. Right? The rest of them have. Harlots are harlots. But virgins are virgins. So out of this end time movement, there's wise and there's foolish. And it would behoove us in our own walk to make sure and say, what was the difference between wise and foolish? Because you've heard the analogy that they both come out of the same garment, like a woman putting a pattern out, and you cut everything out, and what goes into the dress is saved, and that which is remnant is thrown away, right, or whatever. It's just that material is just as valuable as what went in the garment, but it just happened to be outside of the pattern of the bride, and so we should look at that and say, what's different? Because whatever it is that's different in the you got a bride and you got foolish virgins, whatever's different about foolish virgin causes them to not be able to meet him in his company. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. They don't do the things that the harlot systems do. Okay? It's a much tighter walk than that. Okay? And so, you know, we can try to explain all kinds of things. We know that they've let the oil go out. But how does that translate? How does that oil letting it go out, how does that translate into a walk that's not able to go meet him at his coming? That's the difference. The bride has something that they're able to go meet him with, and it's light. They're able to walk and navigate in this hour when the coming of the Lord, and he's here and he's come to take that bride, she's able to navigate this hour. But the foolish somehow miss it. And they're not harlots, but they somehow miss it because they can't navigate at the coming of the Lord and meet him at his coming. And I just want to say, back to what I said at the beginning, we are stewards of the mystery. Because this is a mystery. If we're bride, we're a mystery. We're a mystery to ourselves somewhat, but we are a mystery to this world, right? And God chose it to be a mystery. If you read in the scriptures where John was in prison, and he went and he said, ask Jesus, is he really the one? Because he got his eagle guy, I got them, as Brother Brim said. And so Jesus said, you go tell John the things that you see happening. See, Jesus could have said, tell John, yes, I'm that one, but Jesus doesn't do it that way. You've got to see what's going on, and when you see what's going on, that tells you what it is, right? And so he said, well, go tell John what you see happening, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor and so forth, and blessed is he who's not offended in me. Because people are offended in the word, and we got to make sure we're not offended. We can't be offended in the way God chose to bring this message to us. He chose to bring a humble servant that he chose to identify himself and make that man an official voice to say, come out of all this nonsense, my people. And so we can't. And that right there, this Matthew chapter 11 is where I'm talking about. Here's John. He's a forerunner. This all transpires. Jesus says, go tell John what it is, you know, that you see happening. And blessed is he that's not offended in me. And then Jesus gives compliment to John and says, hey, no one greater than woman born among men, right? Then what does Jesus do right then? He said, look, here's John. He came. Here I am. And I liken to children in the marketplace because you say, well, we fight for you and you didn't dance and, you know, and so forth. And Jesus is saying, look, because John came and he wasn't drinking, right? He wasn't drinking or anything like that, and you had condemnation for him, and then here I come, and I'm fellowshipping with sinners and so forth like that, and then you condemn that. Mm-hmm. And so what Jesus is saying there, look, John came, he was the real forerunner, he was the voice, now I'm the fulfillment of it, and you didn't accept him, and you didn't accept me, And then he began to rebuke all the cities that had most of the work done in them. How much stuff has been done in this country? Mm-hmm. Right? We had a forerunner, Christ present. Look at what God has done. And so he begins to rebuke all these nations. And then he says, Father, I thank you because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed it. And it's happening again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Had a forerunner, Christ here doing things, and people just, they've always got some way they can reject John. Always got some way to reject Jesus. Always got some way to reject what God is doing. And, you know, but it's revealed. It's revealed to people, you know. And Jesus said he was thankful for that. Jesus was thankful that God had hid those things from wise and prudent. This may sound harsh. I'm glad that most of the world don't understand this. Not because I don't want them to be saved. But I'm saying, you know, don't cast pearls before swine. You've heard that. I mean, this is a mystery. And to us, it is marvelous what God is doing. It is marvelous.
The thing about this, too, is the same Holy Spirit, the same tutor all the time.
That's
the
right.
The difference is they followed to a certain point, and to at some point, they rejected the word and took the creed instead. And that's what made the difference.
Well, Brother Tim said he's heard preachers. Listen, this message is unfolding to us too. It was a progressive revelation to Brother Branham. There were things that he became clear on before that he wasn't early on. And it's the same thing to us. And maybe preachers in the past, message preachers, have preached it. That was, you know, hey, this foolish virgin was denominational world. I will tell you, there was a time that I wondered that too. I wondered, you know, well, I guess that's a denomination. But at some point, it became clear to me, virgins are not harlots. So they're not part of that man-made, you know, creeds and system. They're virgins. But they got to be able to meet him at his coming. They heard the cry. They knew it was time. But they just didn't maintain their walk such as though that when the time come, they could go meet him.
This goes with what I was meditating on yesterday. Maybe back before yesterday, when I was home alone. Y'all went out to eat that time.
Okay.
I went to my office and I was praying, and these thoughts are kind of along the thoughts of what we're talking about tonight. And the thought came to me, and I wrote it down. It's on my paper. Is all the seed must do is put yourself in alignment with the word, and the seed will take care of itself. That's
right.
It.
That's right.
That's all we've got to do as the bride. How am I going to do this?
Right.
Just put yourself in alignment with the word, and the seed inside you does. Just sure as a woman's pregnant with a baby, that's all she's got to do. Just stay in the right environment, eat, drink.
That's right.
Stay in a pleasant atmosphere. Because you take a woman who's pregnant in a frolic atmosphere where it's low tension, she won't produce like she should.
Right.
Keep yourself in a good environment.
Right.
And the seed will take care of itself. So.
That's right. Yesterday I was thinking of this thought. I had heard something that caused me to think it. Don't try to be spiritual.
Right.
Don't try to be anything except just walk with Christ.
That's it.
Yeah. Just walk with the word. And if you're walking with him, he'll speak to you when it's somebody at work that you can talk to and say something. He'll just don't try to manufacture.
That's
just
right.
Be, you know.
That's
it's
so
like true. It's like, you know, people will condemn Peter, which maybe this is not a good example, you know, but when all that had happened, he went back to fishing. You know, but
nothing
but like
wrong fishing.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying. Well, let me see if I can find a different example. So, well, I don't know. Maybe like when Brother Branham was on the mountain when he spoke to the storm and went back. You know, and here he was in the presence of God and was a type of the millennium and all that stuff. And, well, he just went back to going to go back to camp or just went, you know, and the Lord said, why don't you stay here and walk with me?
Yes.
You know, I'm just saying.
That's
but
right.
But sometimes you just after a good revival and God has moved and done something, and then well, you got to go back to work Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. I mean, you just go. But God knows how to. He knows how to get you and summons you in your day to day walk. As long as you're walking with Him, if you're consecrated to Him, He can use anything and everything that you have. He'll use it for Himself.
That's right.
Right. You just don't try to do nothing. Don't try to say, oh, today I'm going to go in and. You know, no, just walk with the Lord and just be in tune with Him.
As a testament, I have done that and utterly failed. I'm gonna be a witness today. I'm gonna do this and failed miserably.
The times that I have seen a vision was it just popped up.
That's right.
And Brother Bram said the same thing. He can't control that.
That's right.
Start off your day thinking that, and then all of a sudden it's the end of the day.
That's right.
And it's like, what was I doing all day?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
That's right.
Yeah. This goes back to let this mind be in you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Just let it happen. Don't force it. Don't try to prime it down. Just push the restrictions away.
Just
you know?
Like the song, just let go and let God.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
And be happy.
And remembering to include him all the time.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, brother. Yes. Yes.
Right.
Acknowledging in all things.
In
everything. Yeah.
In every decision.
Yeah. And all day today, I've been thinking one of the greatest things we can have in our arsenal is being thankful. Be thankful and for what you have and be in interest in everything. Because you think about it, a lot of times we fall, it's because we weren't thankful.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you get puffed up, it's because you weren't thankful.
That's right. You can work so hard that you can't even hardly move to get in bed that night. But when you lay down, you can say, "Lord, thank you because I got a lot done. I didn't get hurt. I can't hardly move, but it was a good day." You know what I mean? It just, it's wonderful to serve it, and it's not bondage.
No.
You know, and I know Satan will try to make every one of us from time to time think that it's not. It's such a blessing to serve. Especially when you see him doing mighty things. And like I mentioned Wednesday night, I don't remember exactly the way I said it, but this word works. This message God has sent to produce a bride. And I don't know what he's going to do between now and our body change, but there's a potential there for him to do some mighty wonderful things. It's laying there. And so it works, but... You know, like Brother Bram said, if you've got part of God in you at all, and you can speak a world in existence, go live on it, but it's controlled by faith. You don't, even in third pull, Brother Branham didn't jump up and say, "I'm going to speak to this." God told him to. See, we're still sons and tutors, right? So we still aren't boss yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to wait on him to give us something. And that's why you walk with him. But the day will come. The day will come when he'll say, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." Right? Amen. So good. All right. Everybody ready to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's just close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for such a wonderful time around your word. Just a little different environment than we have when we're in church. Not to pull away from that, Lord, but just to tell you that this is wonderful. When hungry children come and just are looking for things, Lord, just to feed their experience. And Lord, you've done such a wonderful job in that tonight. We just thank you for everything. And we pray, God, if there's any confusion there, Lord, that we could continue on until every question is answered and every heart is settled. We love you, Lord, and we just commit the rest of this evening our fellowship to you. And as always, we ask it in your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you.